Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I was at the mall with my mom. I was probably, around 5 years old. And whenever we went to the mall, I loved to go to Woolworths. Now, does anybody here remember the department store Woolworths? Okay, you all just dated yourself right there. And I loved to go and I loved to get on the exercise bikes. And of course, my mom had other plans because she wanted to get her shopping done and head back home. But one night, I think it was likely a Friday night, we were at Woolworths, and I begged my mom to take me to the sporting area of the store so that I could ride the exercise bikes. So after a few moments of coercing, I finally got her to bring me over there. And she let me ride, and then she had to continue on with her shopping, so she said, okay, come on, it's enough, we gotta go. And of course, I'm like, I don't want to go. I really don't want to go, Mom. And so eventually I did get up and I followed her. And then I'm like, she's not really watching me. So I'm gonna sneak back because she knows exactly where I am. So she's it's all under control. So I snuck back and I got back on the bike again. And so I'm riding along. And then all of a sudden I realized my mom hasn't come back to get me yet. And I started to feel a little bit afraid. And suddenly, the thrill of the ride wasn't as much anymore. I needed to go find my mom. So I went down aisle after aisle, step after step, and that involved on a full-on run through the store. I realized I couldn't find her. She was nowhere in sight. I was lost. And this realization led to crying, which led to a stranger taking my hand and leading me off to customer service, and then all of a sudden my name gets blasted over the store speakers to have my mom come to find me. Well, all turned out well, and I was reunited with my mom, and I likely got a tongue lashing in the process for going off by myself. You see, I decided that I was going to do my own thing, and I was going to engage in an activity that brought me temporary pleasure. But it wasn't until I realized that my mom wasn't coming to get me right away that I realized I needed to search for her. And it wasn't until a few minutes later, when I couldn't locate her, that I realized I was a lost five-year-old. The thing I didn't realize was that my mom was searching for me the whole time. She hadn't abandoned me. She loved me, and when she knew I was missing, she had been frantically searching the whole time to bring me back to where she was. Before we continue this today, there's a few things I want to tell you about. Fred announced a couple of weeks ago we're going to be switching our service times. So, you know what? Thank you, everybody, for in January you kind of rearranged your schedule so that you could come to this service. You're coming an hour and a half earlier than you used to before. Well, on March the 10th, you only need to come an hour earlier than you used to. So we're going to be changing to 9:30. And the reason for that is we want to kind of balance out the attendance. We're noticing that there's still a lot of people coming to the second service. And hopefully this will help us to kind of balance out the attendance a little more so that we're still making room for the other 80,000, right? And so that's on March 10th. So come at 9:30 on March the 10th. Or if you're going to go to the second service that day, come at 11:15. If this is your first time here, or maybe you've been here for a few weeks but you haven't yet connected with us, I invite you to fill out a Get Connected card, and you can find that on crosslands.live. And if you're not that tech savvy, at the back of this theater in the holders and then outside any of the other theaters, there's an actual physical Get Connected card. You can fill that out, and you can drop it off at the information center, and somebody will get it to us so we can be in touch with you. The next thing is we don't pass it a plate or a bucket or anything to take it up offering here, but we do have several options for those of you who have come prepared to give today. And you'll see some of those that are listed on the screen. We have giving boxes for cash and checks that you can put that in the along with an envelope into our giving boxes. And then we have online giving, we have text giving. There's also a machine out there at the information desk for debit and credit. So if you have any other questions about that, the Information Center will help you out with that. Also, my number is on the top left of the screen, and if you have any questions relating to this message, you can text me, and if there's time at the end, we'll get to those. So let's imagine for a few moments that we're gathered here today because someone is missing. We find out that they're lost, and we're here to help in the rescue operations. We've all heard the noise that comes blaring through our phones or our TV screens when there's an Amber Alert, and unfortunately, we heard one of those just a couple of weeks ago. We've all heard that noise, and we look into the story further, and we realize that the police and rescue personnel are fully engaged in doing whatever they can to find and rescue a lost child. So today, let the blaring noise be heard that there are people who need to be rescued. They may not be physically lost. They may even be present in our homes, our schools, our workplaces, or wherever we find ourselves on a day-to-day basis. But these people are in need of spiritual rescue by Jesus. We've been sharing this sermon series with you over the past couple of weeks, and 2 weeks ago, Fred started it off by talking about love. And he says that God loves each of us uniquely and calls us to receive his love and to pour it out to other people. And then last week he talked to us about death and how we can listen to people and we hear what they're suffering with and we can share the good news that there is a solution for their pain and suffering. And it comes because Jesus overcame death. He provided a solution when he died on the cross. As we're talking about the good news this month, we want to make this as simple as possible so that you can understand how to tell others about the good news of Jesus, how he loves us, how he died and rose again to provide a way for us to know him, and how we have hope forever because of what he's done for us. So today we're going to talk about the third word, rescue. But in order to look at rescue, we need to understand how a person can be rescued. So if we go back to the beginning, we'll understand that God had a plan of rescue in place all along. He never intended that we be left alone. He always has desired that we would be in relationship with him. So let's go back to the beginning. The Garden of Eden. God finished creating everything on earth, and he created Adam and Eve, and then Eve, and then they were to work together and look after the amazing creation that God had for them. But then entered the serpent, Satan, the evil one. The serpent tempted Eve, and Eve underwent a bit of a power struggle and then realized that she wanted to do her own thing instead of listening to God's instruction. So she ate the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, which was the only tree in the garden that God told them that they couldn't eat from. And then she offered it to Adam, and he ate it too, and they became aware that they were naked. In that moment, they became aware that there is good and evil in the world. They were no longer perfect. They had done something wrong, and they realized it, and they did what we all instinctively do. They tried to cover it up, and they hoped that God wouldn't find out. Well, God did find out because he's God, and he knows everything that we've ever done, good and bad. And this resulted in Adam and Eve enduring a life of hardship and pain instead of one in perfect unity with their Father God. But in the middle of all this chaos and uncertainty, God promised one who would be victorious over evil and death. In Genesis 3:15, God is talking to the serpent, and he said, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, you will strike his heel." This verse is the first reference to God's rescue plan for humanity. He is revealing that the offspring of Adam and Eve, and we can read about this in the genealogy of Jesus being traced back to Adam in Luke 3. Jesus will crush the head of Satan. Jesus would have victory over sin and death, and chaos and turmoil and disappointments and destruction. Jesus will be the one sent to rescue humanity from the state they got themselves into because they turned from God and tried to live their own way. You see, the plan that God presents to us is that you do not need to live that way anymore. Jesus, by giving his life, has provided a better way for us. So for thousands of years after, we read in the Old Testament at the plan of rescue that God had for us. And he did this in the form of covenants that he made. These covenants are all embracing binding relationships between God and his people. And over time, God made several covenants with his people. And if we were to look at them, they all point in some way to Jesus. So we're going to look at some of these. We have the covenant that God made with Noah, that he would never again destroy the whole earth with a flood. And the sign of this covenant, we see it in the sky still today, is a rainbow. The covenant between God and Abraham, that Abraham's descendants would form a great nation and they would be blessed. And the sign of that covenant was circumcision. The covenant with Moses, or the Sinai covenant, where God gave him the Ten Commandments and the law. God pledged to be Israel's God, but the condition was that the people had to be set apart to God. The covenant with David, an unconditional promise that David's kingdom would be an everlasting one. This covenant points to Jesus, who will be the future king, and he was David's descendant. And then there's the new covenant, in Jeremiah 31. The transformation of lives, beginning with the forgiveness of sins. It would not depend on the written law, as it was in the Sinai covenant, but if God's instructions would be written on our hearts. And this was fulfilled in Jesus. So we can see that through all of these covenants, God's desire was that his people would be in relationship with him. He didn't want people to live for themselves. He wants to be part of our lives. Throughout all of history, we can see that God never broke the covenants he made with his people. Then again in Luke 1, we read about Zechariah. He was a priest, and he was visited by the angel Gabriel, who told him that he would have a son named John, and John became known as John the Baptist, who would come and prepare the way for Jesus, and Jesus would inaugurate a plan of rescue for the world. This plan didn't negate or lessen the integrity of the previous covenants that God made with his people, but now he was promising that all people would have access to his presence, so that you and I today can have access to his presence. So what was the plan? Well, our verse for the series tells us, John 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And today we're going to focus on the part that says, "He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish." Well, that sounds pretty simple for us, and it is simple for us. We need to believe in Jesus so that we will receive life and be rescued from death spiritually. We were moving along in one direction, and that leads to a way of pain and destruction. Then we recognize that there's more to life than that. Jesus provided a solution. He provided a solution to our pain and wrong way of living. And if we decide to go in the other direction, if we decide to follow Jesus, we're following a better way of living that brings life. Back in Genesis, God told Adam and Eve that if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil, they experienced spiritual death, separation from God. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to forgive the sins of the whole world once and for all, so that we could be brought back into relationship with him. But just understanding that Jesus died and rose again isn't enough. We have to believe in him. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? We trust him. We rely on him. We cling to him. And if you look at the word believe in that verse, in the original Greek, it's actually interpreted not just to believe, but while believing. So while believing in Jesus, we will not perish or we will not die. Or while we believe in Jesus, there is a way out. There is a rescue plan. It means that we're saying we no longer want to live for ourselves, but we want to change the way we're living and we want to commit to live for God. We want to believe in him and believe he has a plan for our lives that is better than anything that we can provide for ourselves. So why is it that people don't believe this? If it's so simple, why is it that they don't believe this? Well, I think there's a few different factors, and so let's just look at a few of them. Number one, they've never heard the good news of Jesus and his rescue plan. Perhaps they grew up in a family or a culture that is not Christian. Maybe they know of Jesus as a prophet from history, but they do not realize that he made a sacrifice and he had a rescue plan for them too. We're challenged to go and to share the good news with all people. The message is for everyone, no matter what their culture or religion or where they come from. The second thing, they have heard about Jesus, but they think that they have to fix up their lives before coming to Jesus. And you've probably heard this all the time. I just think of it, when somebody's rescued, maybe they're in the woods and they're lost, And they may have been there for hours, just kind of there by themselves, just wondering, is somebody coming to rescue me? And if all of a sudden they hear the bushes rustling and they hear somebody calling their name, they wouldn't be like, oh, well, just give me a moment. Give me a moment. I need to fix my hair, and I've been here for a while. I don't look so good right now. They wouldn't do that. They'd be like, hey, over here, come and get me. I'm right here. But for some reason, when it comes to following Jesus, people, they think that they have to fix up something in their lives first. But that's not the way it is. In Colossians 3:10, it says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. In other words, when you come to Jesus, He doesn't care who you are or what condition your life is currently in. He has come to bring you new life. His Spirit comes to live in us and enables us to live the way that He wants us to live. So it's not something we have to worry about on our own. His Spirit comes to live with us, and as long as we follow the way that He wants us to live, He'll help us to be the person that He wants us to be. The third thing, people are not sure that they want to surrender to somebody else. They think that they have to give up their own power. And what people don't realize is that by having Jesus as part of their lives, they'll actually be better with Him than they could ever be in their own power. So instead, they look to things like philosophy and science and other religions to try and fill their spiritual void. When we come to Jesus, He doesn't expect us to never have our own thoughts and opinions. He doesn't want us to be robots. He gave us a free choice. What He does for us is to include Him. What He does want for us is for us to include Him in our lives, to let us help Him make the best decisions for our lives and for the lives of those around us. It's not that a person won't have any power when they give their lives to Jesus, but instead, they will look to the all-powerful One. The fourth thing is that people don't realize just how much they're going to miss out on by not following Jesus. So what would they miss out on? Well, He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's a savior or a rescuer, a healer, someone who never leaves us or forsakes us, no matter what we go through in life. I think that's somebody I want to follow. The fifth thing, they don't want to ask for forgiveness. Deciding to follow Jesus means that you will need to look at the way you're living, and you will need to ask for forgiveness from Jesus and possibly from other people as well. And some people have a hard time with this because they think that they're a good person and that they haven't done anything wrong to ask for forgiveness of. Some people want to ask for forgiveness because it means they will also need to forgive themselves. They'll need to deal with an issue that they have that is actually keeping them from moving forward in life. And sometimes believing is the hardest part for people to do, and it often takes time for them to realize the significance of what Jesus was willing to sacrifice, that they can have life. As humans, we're unable to comprehend the full love and grace that Jesus is willing to give us. But if we decide to believe Him and commit our lives to following Him. So what can you and I do to share this rescue with other people? And the first one is to tell your personal story. And Fred mentioned this last week in his sermon, but I'm going to talk about it again today because I think it's important. So what's your story? How did you come to experience the rescue of Jesus? When did it happen? Sometimes it's our own personal story that people need to hear. Not only what happened, when that happened, but what's been the difference in your life since Jesus became part of your life, since He rescued you? I don't often think of my own story as a very significant one or a powerful story of God's rescue, but I think my story is that He called me when He did, and He rescued me from what my life could have been if I didn't come to Him. If you were here in the summertime, I did This Is My Story, and I shared my story of how I came to Christ when I was about 6 years old and just kind of followed Him and gradually got closer to Him as going through life. And it's because of what He means in my life and from what He's come to mean in my life that I continued for Him. And it's because I realized that Jesus was offering a solution for the pain and loneliness and my own destructive ways. And I didn't But he's also there to celebrate with me when the good things happen. That's my story. And maybe yours is similar to mine, or maybe you have a powerful story of how God rescued you later in life. It doesn't really matter when we came to Christ or what happened before we did. What matters is that we did allow him to rescue us. So share it with somebody else. A few weeks ago, I joined the gym, and I was given the option of an hour-long session with someone on their staff to go through a workout plan. And during our time together, he asked me where I work. Of course, that's always an interesting conversation when somebody asks me where I work. Well, I work at a church. And so he's like, oh, so what does a person do when they work church? And so I had an opportunity to share my story with him. And one question that he had for me was, well, why do you do what you do? And I had an opportunity to tell him that about the difference that God has made in my life since I started following him and how I want to share it with other people. And as I shared my story, I realized that it wasn't about me at all, but it was about what Jesus had done in my life, and that's what needed to be related. I think a lot of times we worry that we're going to say the wrong thing when we talk about Jesus. What we need to realize is that it's not whether or not we're eloquent in our speech, but it's that in the process we're highlighting Jesus. So even in preparing today's sermon, I was worried about, am I making this too complicated? Am I going into too many details? And I was hoping, you know, I want to make sure that you guys don't miss the whole point of how we can tell other people about how Jesus rescued us. And then I realized that as we're speaking, as I'm speaking today, and as you're speaking with other people in your everyday lives, the Holy Spirit is with us. And while we should worry about what we're saying, because we want to say the right things, and so I think that we should take some time ahead of time to think and to have it in mind what we're going to say to people, I think in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and he helps us. He helps us to remember what we've thought about. He helps us to remember all the things that we have. And in that moment, he comes and helps us to articulate that to somebody else. So don't let that deter you from sharing what God has done in your life. The second thing that we can do to talk about God's rescue is to point people to the rescuer. Jesus came to this earth as a human, a baby. And when he was in his 30s, he died and rose again for all of us. He did this so that we could have new life and so that we could be with God again. Jesus becomes the rescuer because he is the means by which we reconnect with our Father God. Without him sacrificing his life and his resurrection, we would be lost and separated from God forever. Thank God that he had a plan all along, that he didn't do our own devices, but he provided a way for us to come to him. Romans 10, verse 10 tells us that, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. God always had his people in mind throughout all history. He never left them hanging, never left them hopeless, never left them hurting. God's rescue is a guaranteed one, but we have to accept his help. We have to believe that he has a better way for us to live. God chose us. He loves us. He takes away fear. He provides forgiveness. And because of that, we're never alone. By accepting the rescue of Jesus, we are forgiven from sin. We're a child of God, a follower of Christ. We are no longer left without a direction. There is a future for us. And next week, we're going to hear about that future. We're going to hear about that hope that we have because of the rescue of Jesus, because of his love, because of his death, because of his rescue. We have hope. And that's going to be the best part of the story, so you don't want to miss next week when Wade talks to us about that. I'm going to see if nobody decided to text me today, so that's okay. I'm not good at thinking on my feet anyway, so I'm okay with that. Today we've been talking about what Jesus has done for us so that we can continue to live our lives in freedom. And I've been talking more to those of us in the room who need to be reminded of how we can tell other people about this rescue of Jesus. But maybe there's somebody here today and you've heard about Jesus' rescue, but you still have some questions about it. You're still not quite sure if you want to do that believing part. And we have an Alpha course it's going to be starting this coming Thursday, 7 o'clock, next door in the annex. And outside these doors, there's a table set up for Alpha, and Warren and Ramona will be there. And if you have questions, you can ask them. Or you can also sign up at crosslands.live, go to the events section, and then the Alpha course will be there that you can sign up for. But maybe right now you're realizing that it's time that you start believing Jesus. Well, what does someone need to do? What can you do right now to accept the view of Jesus? And I've given you the longer answer today, but let's narrow it down to three short steps. A, admit I've done wrong things in my life. Admit that I'm going to give up my pride and my desire to control everything. Admit that I can't rescue myself. B, believe that Jesus came to this earth to die for every wrong thing that I've done. Because of his dying on the cross and rising again, I can have life. Believe that because of the plan that God put in place from the beginning, there's a better way of living. Friends, God never wanted us to remain distanced from him. He loves us, and he wants to be in relationship with us. And see, commit. Commit your life to Christ. Surrender those wrong things you have done to him. Decide that you want him to show you a new way of living, and that you want to accept him because you believe that his way is the best way. So if you decide to make that decision today, don't keep that to yourself. Tell someone around you, or you can go to crosslands.live and fill out the section that says Jesus, and then we can be in contact with you about that. Why don't we stand? After I pray, Theater One is going to become a prayer room, and the prayer focus today will be applying the rescue of Jesus to our lives. And maybe you need Jesus to rescue you in your life that has fallen off track. Maybe you have some financial situations that you need to make, and you need some wisdom in doing that. Or maybe there's a relationship in your life that, without the rescue of Jesus, you don't think the relationship is going to survive. Please stay if you want to talk about this, or maybe there's something else that you want to talk to him about. Otherwise, you can share other conversations in the lobby before you go today. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for providing a plan of rescue for us. God, you had us on your mind from the beginning. You desired that we would be in relationship with you. You don't want there to be a gap, but you desire closeness with us. So today, God, we find ourselves in a couple of different situations. Some of us have decided for the first time today that we do not want to live our own way any longer, but we want to accept the rescue plan that you have offered to us. So Jesus, we accept your rescue today. We believe that you have provided a new and better way of life, gave your life for us, and rose again. Others of us in this room have accepted your rescue already, but we find ourselves in a situation where we need your help for a specific issue. We cannot navigate through this on our own. We need your help. We need you to provide a way of rescue for us today. Thank you, Jesus. Help us as we go and take this message and use it to help somebody else understand the rescue plan that you have for them too. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Have a good day.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.